Well, hey there, Mama, and welcome back to the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast, episode 108. I'm Emily McDermott, and I'm here beside you on this journey as we work together to declutter your home, head, and heart. Well, today I really have a treat for you on the podcast. My friend, Emily Conley, who I met all the way back in May 2021 when we did Instagram Lives, and they were called the Minimalist Moms Meetup. So I have Emily to thank for helping me along this podcasting journey. And Emily has her own podcast. She's also very active on Instagram, has her own YouTube channel, and all sorts of things that you can see in the show notes today. And we're talking about one of my favorite topics, which is decluttering and editing our closets. And I've already had some episodes on this, which you'll see in the show notes. Episode 20 about capsule wardrobes, episode 33 about editing your closet without photo, fear of throwing out, with Jennifer Mackie Mary, and then also episode 55, all about decluttering hacks for your closet. And today, Emily is bringing her grace-filled approach to minimalism to this conversation. And Emily, she is a wife, a mom, a professional organizer, and YouTuber that lives in upstate New York. And she creates weekly videos about pursuing minimalism with grace. She loves to help busy millennial mamas find freedom from clutter, confidence in their homes, and pursue their higher callings. Now, one of the things I love about this conversation is at the end, we talk about the biggest mistakes that she sees when people, especially moms, are trying to declutter their closets. And she actually gives advice that's completely counter to what I usually say. But that's why I bring people on the podcast, to give different perspectives. So I know you're going to love this conversation. What do you say? Grab a notebook and pen, and let's dive into today's conversation with Emily Conley. Hey there, Mama. Are you tired of all the stuff crowding your home, calendar, and mind? Do you wish you could say goodbye to the endless to-do list running around in your head? Want to declutter but don't know where to start? You're in the right place. Welcome to Moms Overcoming Overwhelm, where you will find proven and practical solutions to declutter your home, head, and heart. Hi, I'm Emily, a wife, boy mom, and simplicity seeker. I struggled to get pregnant and felt overwhelmed until I discovered decluttering could create the physical and emotional space I needed to become a mom. Now, two kids later, I've transformed my life and motherhood by developing simple systems around decluttering, capsule wardrobes, kid stuff, cleaning and tidying, meal planning, time management, and more, and I can't wait to share them with you. If you're ready to reclaim the time and energy you crave, be present with your kids, and finally enjoy the life and motherhood you so deserve, let's kick overwhelm to the curb, shall we? Grab your lukewarm coffee, your notebook and pen, and clear off some counter space. Let's do this. Well, hi, Emily. I just realized, I think you're my first Emily guest.
Oh, really?
We're going to have to differentiate. I think they know my voice by now, but yeah. Thank you for coming on the Moms Overcoming Overwhelm podcast. I am just thrilled to talk to you today.
Oh, thanks so much. It's so exciting to be here.
Yeah. I was saying before we started recording that Emily Conley is one of the reasons that I am here today, sitting in this chair with my mic and my headphones, because back in May, 2021, I had to check. We had connected kind of over Instagram, and we came up with, I think it was your idea, to have this minimalist moms meetup. And we did these Instagram lives, sometimes just ourselves, sometimes we had guests. And that was really the beginning of me getting into podcasting, and you got into podcasting before me. So maybe I'm just following in your footsteps. I don't really know, but I'm just really happy that we can finally chat on my podcast, and I would love it if you could introduce yourself, tell us about you and your family, kind of how you work with moms, and anything you like to do in your quote unquote free time, if that exists.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's really fun to be back on here and chatting with you too. I'm Emily. I live in upstate New York along with my husband, and then we have two boys. And we live in an old Victorian farmhouse that we've been renovating over the last year. So I work as a professional organizer. So in person and online, I help busy, stressed, overwhelmed moms and women reclaim their space and ultimately find freedom from clutter and confidence in their home to ultimately have the space to pursue their higher calling.
Yes, and Emily, I'll be make sure to link to everything in the show notes, but you have your podcast with your besties, and you also have your YouTube channel, and I love seeing your before and afters. Like, if you are a person that loves to see the before and after photos for decluttering or videos and everything, Emily's channel is great. But I think one of the things I love most about your approach and what you always remind me of is pursuing this with grace. And not having the perfectionist mentality that I've always struggled with, and just being able to give, I feel like I'm always giving moms permission slips, but just like I give you permission that you don't have to do it this certain way, or it doesn't have to be perfect, or it doesn't have to look a certain way. And so I really appreciate your approach to that because I feel like it's so needed, especially in the minimalism space that can kind of get kind of legalistic with like, oh, you have to own this many pieces of clothing and we're going to be talking about our wardrobes today, you know, and if you don't have just like two pairs of jeans, well, then you're obviously doing it wrong. But
Right, or all your clothes need to be beige,
yes.
white, black. Yeah.
Now, to be fair, you're wearing white and black today, but
It's true.
we're going to give you a free pass on that. I own a lot of white and black myself. I know that you are renovating your Victorian farmhouse, so perhaps you do not have any free time. But if you ever have a sliver of free time, what do you like to do?
So that I was actually thinking, I love that you asked that question because I think it is so important for us as moms to have hobbies and to have fun things we do in our free time. And I was just thinking about this recently because a client asked me about what I like to do in my free time, and I couldn't think of anything except for renovating our house. But I would have to say probably reading, and especially buddy reading, because I have a good friend in Iowa. So we kind of have our own little book club where we recommend books to each other and read them at the same time and then share our thoughts. But
Oh, I really love that. And I have a friend of mine that's a big reader, and that is a great idea. Maybe I will suggest that to her that we can have our own little buddy reading club. I
it's
like
really
that.
fun.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I know that you work with overwhelmed, stressed moms, and I do as well. And I have definitely been there many times. I try not to get there too much anymore, but it does happen occasionally. But I would love it if you could kind of bring us back to a season in your motherhood when you felt maybe completely stressed or overwhelmed, and what you did to simplify things or streamline or to be able to make that space in order to pursue what matters most to you. I'd love if you can give us an example of that.
I like you're saying, there's definitely moments of overwhelm. It's life is cycles, but probably a time when I felt completely overwhelmed was when I was going through postpartum depression for the first time. I was a brand new mom. I was trying to go back to work full time at a very stressful job, and I just felt like I was hitting a wall. And like nothing was working. Just every aspect of life felt so overwhelming. Just trying to get out of bed and function every day with depression was hard enough. And then trying to figure out how to be a mom and how to take care of this baby was another whole layer of struggle and complication. And then add on top of that, trying to go back to work and navigating all of the issues that were going on there, especially after being gone for maternity leave. It was just too much. And I remember just feeling just like I was drowning in life and couldn't make heads or tails out of things, and it just felt like everything was spinning out of control. And so I remember thinking and writing in my journal, just I need life to be simpler. I need things to be easier. And honestly, the only way I could figure out what to do or where to start was just to dive in and start getting rid of stuff. So I think initially it just gave me some sort of feeling of control because if I went through my kitchen cabinets and got rid of stuff that I wasn't using or didn't need. It was so much easier to find stuff and easier to make meals. So, I mean, that helped. And then going through my closet and doing a massive declutter and pare down of that made it so much easier to get dressed in the morning. And so, little by little, I started getting momentum and realizing that as I'm decluttering and getting rid of things, it's really freeing up space in my mind and giving me, it's streamlining my day in a practical sense, but it's also giving me space to be able to think through some of the bigger questions. So I also went to therapy. That was huge. And so after about 2 years, I had really cleared out enough of the physical stuff that I was getting to the emotional and mental stuff and starting to ask those bigger questions that I know you ask a lot in your content online, like what are your values and what's your why? And I really started asking myself, like, what do I really want my life to look like? And as a result, I ended up quitting my job and I started doing freelance writing on a part-time basis. And ultimately, my husband ended up quitting his job and he got a new job across the country. We found out that I was pregnant and we moved across the country from Arizona to upstate New York to from like the big city in Phoenix, Arizona to a tiny town in the hills and really our dream location. So, like, everything changed.
And just having, and I feel like you and I have similarities in our stories. I had postpartum anxiety, but just that having that foundation of simplifying and decluttering helped with that, getting pregnant and having that huge transition. And so then, like you said, you were able to do something you probably didn't think that you had were going to be able to do, to be able to quit your job, to be able to pursue this more flexible lifestyle that a lot of times people think is out of reach. And I really love hearing that story. And I think a lot of people can resonate with it, that feeling of drowning, feeling like I just need to catch my breath, like I just need to be able to get control. And so a lot of times, like you said, it is the physical environment that we're getting control of first, but then asking ourselves some of that hard, those harder questions. And I feel like going in to get dressed every day is where we have to do it. It's not like this storage area in our house or this bedroom we never use. We just shut the door and we don't have to think about it. We have to actively be engaging in our clothing and our wardrobe every single day. And a lot of times it's like the questions that we're asking in there are more judgmental, like, well, why doesn't this fit me? What's wrong with me that I don't wear this anymore because I'm never going out with my husband on dates? And when was the last time we had a date? And you kind of just like spiral, you know, when it comes to our wardrobe. And so if someone is like, yes, I want to make getting dressed easier in the morning, I don't want to go in there, you know, once or twice a day, feel horrible about myself, not know where to find anything. And I know that you help women with this a ton, but when we finally made the decision, yes, I want less clothing. I want this to be easier. I want to feel good in what I have. Where does somebody start with actually starting to edit their wardrobe? Where's the first step?
Well, I think it's so important to start with the end goal in mind and really starting by thinking through your why. So, how do you want to look and feel? And really thinking about that and defining your personal style, that is going to make all of those little decisions that then you have to make as far as what to keep, what to get rid of, what to buy, what to not buy. Do you want to follow trends or not follow trends? All of that becomes so much clearer when you have an idea of what your personal style is and what fits with your style. So I in my materials, I basically break it down into six different styles, and each person is a mix of those styles. So I think everyone has their own unique take and their own unique style because no two people are going to have exactly the same mix of those six styles. And that's what makes each of us unique and allows each of us to have our own unique look by, you know, mixing little bits of each of those.
Yeah, I love how you break that down into those kind of six types to really provide that framework. One of the things that I've always said, I feel like I've said this to you before, that I'm missing the style gene. Like it just didn't. And I'm sure that women come to it like, oh, I don't know what it means. Like, what's my personal style? But I realize that, yes, there are things that I gravitate towards. There's things with this current season of me working at home and my kids being in school full time that I, you know, I'm not on the floor constantly playing like I was for years. But also I used, and I know there's several services, but your color guru to kind of help me with my coloring, to know like what colors look good on me. So that way I can go into a store and actually just like have that color palette, because I get very overwhelmed with any kind of decision making or shopping or anything when it comes with to do with clothing. And I think knowing your why, knowing what season you're in, but also having that framework that you spoke about and just sort of those like knowing, you know, maybe what colors look good on you, then you reduce that decision fatigue, which we talk so much about. And I guess when someone understands their why or understands maybe that personal style, they're able to kind of make those decisions. What happens if they have something that is like their favorite color and it fits like their lifestyle, but it fit them 2 kids and 10 pounds ago? And, you know, they're like, wow, I really love this dress, but I can't remember the last time I wore it. What are your suggestions for dealing with this aspirational clutter in our closets that is really an issue, I feel like, especially for moms, maybe more than other people?
Right. I mean, because as moms, we have to shed our identity so many different times in different ways because we're going through so many different seasons of life. I think, first of all, from the very get-go, it is hard when things don't fit anymore. And I think with all of the women that I've worked with women of all ages and all sizes, and I still have yet to find one who doesn't have some kind of insecurity. So I think we need to, in some sense, we need to really let go of this idea of like our body's never going to change and stop glorifying that idea and just embrace it. Like our body is going to change. And even if maybe we don't gain weight as we get older, things still like shift and things don't fit us the way that they used to anymore. And that can be hard. It can be really emotional. And especially like you're saying, when our season of life changes and we no longer have those pretty, we don't have the occasion to wear those pretty party dresses anymore, or our favorite black, you know, blazer from work that used to make us feel so cool and powerful. Like we haven't worn it in years and it's getting all dusty on the shoulders, you know. It can be hard to really come to the understanding that our season of life has changed and shifted and that's not where we are anymore. So I would say, first of all, like normalize that life has seasons and is shifting, and our bodies are also changing and shifting as we get older. And then secondly, to really think through, why is it hard, or what are the emotions that you're feeling when you think about getting rid of these things that you're not wearing anymore? Is it a sense of guilt, or is it a sense of fear? Like you're afraid, if I do lose the 10 pounds, I won't have anything to wear because I got rid of all my small clothes. Or, you know, with maternity clothes, there can be a lot of fears around that. Like, well, what if I get pregnant and I need all these clothes and I can't afford to buy new clothes? So really think through what thoughts are going through your mind when you think about getting rid of the clothes that you're not wearing, and identify, is it guilt? Is it fear? Is it a sense of scarcity? And then we can deal with those. So we can think through, like, how realistic is it that you're going to wear any of these in the next year? If you are pregnant, trying to get pregnant, just had a baby, you get a free pass for like at least a year because your body is going through such dramatic changes. But for the rest of it, if you feel like I gained some weight over a last pregnancy, you know, and I'm going to fit back into these, so I don't want to get rid of my whole wardrobe and have to buy all new, really think through what clothes are the ones that you actually love, because chances are there's some stuff that's just there. And if you get rid of it, you're never going to miss it. So then once you actually weed it out, you can keep like a capsule wardrobe in the items that are your old size, or a maternity capsule wardrobe or something like that. So then, you know, if something happens, you have that backup as security. So I think that that can be helpful, but also really be honest with yourself. And maybe the most healing thing that you can do for yourself in this stage of life is just to let the guilt and shame go and embrace your body and any changes that have happened.
Yeah. And that's hard to do because we tell ourselves, when it comes to our stuff, any of our stuff, we tell ourselves stories, you know, about it. And so we can definitely, I would say you can talk yourself into keeping pretty much everything.
Oh, yeah.
Talking yourself into getting rid of it, that's a whole other thing. But I do have one question, which I didn't prep you for. However, I know you're an expert in this, so you are going to totally knock it out of the park, which is when people, it's more the issue what's coming into their homes. And I know that you are a thrifter. I am not, but you enjoy that and like love kind of the thrill of the hunt, but you do it in a very intentional way. And so if someone is like, okay, yes, I want to edit my wardrobe, I don't have so much trouble with like what, you know, what I'm getting rid of, but then when I go shopping, I have a really hard time, especially if it's like thrifted stuff or like on sale or whatever, that I just want to get like one in every single color, or I just have to get it because it's at a thrift store and I'm not going to find anything like this ever again. And how do we make sure we keep our wardrobe under control when we have some of these tendencies as far as bringing stuff into our house?
Right. Yeah. Like you were saying, I do love thrifting, and it's kind of that idea of the thrill of the hunt. All of that kind of plays into making it really fun. I think if I remember right, your thing way back in the day was like shopping on ModCloth for cute dresses.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Back in my dress obsession days. Yes.
Yes. Yep. So probably most of us have like an Achilles heel to something, whether it's like really cute displays in stores where they make everything look so amazing, or online, everything looks great in the pictures online. So I think it helps to go back to our style and really analyze, like, do we want to buy this puffy Sherpa like sweater vest thing because it's cute and trendy, or, you know, we see other people wearing it, so we think we need one. Does it actually fit with what our style is? Does it fit with how we want to look and feel and present ourselves? And through the process of decluttering our wardrobe, we can see where we have holes and needs, like, oh, I actually do need a black t-shirt to go underneath things, or I really do need a pair of blue jeans because I don't have one, or, you know, things like that. So there's definitely a place for shopping, but I think once we go through the process of defining our style and what we really like and what's really us, all of that other stuff becomes a lot less appealing, because we know what we like, what we want to wear, and we can fill in the gaps as needed, but we're just not sucked in as much to all of that other stuff.
Yeah, you made a really good point there, the filling in the gaps. Like, I'm able to see season to season now that it's getting cold here, finally. Like, oh, okay, well, I thought I had this many pairs of leggings. Turns out I have like one that actually looks decent. Okay, I might want to have one more, but I'm just filling in those wardrobe gaps based upon what I know my style is already. So that is really helpful. Now, I know that you have helped many, many women with their closets in addition to other parts of their home. You organize, declutter and organize garages like I have never seen before, by the way, side note. But what is the biggest mistake you see women making when they are like, they do get that motivation? They're like, yes, today's closet day. I am doing this. And they go in. And what's the biggest mistake or mistakes that you see women making?
Yeah, I think there's really two, and I couldn't pick just one. So the number one mistake that I think is most common is not taking everything out. Because nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to have to take everything out of their closet and drawers and pile it up on their bed because it makes a huge mess. It takes up your space and it just creates chaos. But it makes the whole process so much easier because you can see everything together and then you can see quickly like where you have duplicates or where you have gaps. And it's so much harder to have to put something back than it is to just take things out. And it just gives you a whole new fresh perspective on your clothing and what you own when you actually take the time to clear out, you know, all those shoes that you have shoved in the very back of your closet that are gathering dust. You know, when you actually take the time to get all of that stuff out and see it all in one place, it will make the process so much easier and better, but you do have to just take a few deep breaths and get over that hurdle of, you know, it's gonna make a mess, but you will get through it.
I will say, before you go on to your second one, I actually always say not to do that.
So
that's why I'm so glad we're talking, because it's like, yes, it's like a helpful perspective, but I think I do and I don't. So I usually have it be like, if you know that you have 15 minutes or something to be taking out like the subcategory. So like, you know, you're like, okay, I'm just doing shoes today. Yes, you're going to take out all the shoes because you have to see the duplicates and whatever. But a point that you brought up, which again, lacking the style gene here in my brain, is like being able to see like what might go together or, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I'm guessing that there might be, you know, there's different layers of decluttering. So maybe the first, if you only have the 15 minutes, it's like, okay, what duplicate tank tops do I have? But then it's like, okay, now I can go back and be like, well, what does this go with? In which case you do have to have a full understanding of everything that's in your closet. So that's really funny. That's why I love talking to you and other people that are especially professionals, because I'm like, maybe I'm doing it wrong or it's different, or maybe like that's going to work for some, you know, some people, and then something works for someone else. 100%. You know,
I've definitely worked with clients before where we could not do that because either they had too many clothes, like we literally couldn't physically put them all in one place, or they just weren't at a place emotionally where they could handle that amount of chaos. And so we had to, you know, do little by little, one drawer at a time, and kind of work our way through. So
Well, tell us the second mistake. Maybe I'm doing it too.
Well, the second one is falling for the sunk cost fallacy, where you think since you spent money on it, you need to keep it, and that is somehow going to get your money back or your money's worth out of it. But it's a fallacy, because the truth is the money is already spent and it's not coming back. So you're just continuing to cost you, because you're basically paying for that item in the space that it's taking up in your closet. And not just the physical space, but the mental space, because every time you see that fancy, you know, dress that's hanging there that you never wear, it, you know, makes you feel bad. So you just got to cut your losses with that. And that can be really hard, but once you do it, you're going to feel so much better, and you're going to have exactly the same number of options in your closet once you remove all of the stuff that you won't wear or can't wear or don't enjoy wearing. You literally have the same number of options still in there, but you've freed up all of that space.
I love that. And luckily that's not a mistake I make. I was nodding my head vigorously as I do sometimes, which of course you can't see on the podcast, but yes, because I have seen that so many times with women too. And it's like, we don't think about not only the physical space, like you said, but the mental and emotional space where we're feeling bad about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I did have a style expert on the podcast once, and I'll always remember this quote because I love it. She said, you know, your wardrobe are the things that you love and that fit you now. It's your closet mm-hmm. is not a museum for what fits you 5 years ago or a warehouse for what might fit you 5 years from now. And I just love that perspective because it's like when we know we have to go into our closet, like I said, like, you know, once, maybe twice a day, we're doing laundry, we're constantly cycling through clothes. It's like part of being a person living, but also especially a mom, then it's like, okay, we don't want to have this negative emotion attached with something that we have to do every day. Like we want to be able to declutter that negative emotion. So
especially starting your day, like I tell my clients, you want to start your day when you're getting dressed, feeling like when you open your closet doors or open your drawers, like you're being greeted by a bunch of old friends and, you know, favorite people in your life, not people that are guilting you or shaming you or, you know, all of that negative emotions. You want it to feel really good.
Yes, that's so true, especially since that's kind of setting the tone, right, for the rest of our day. But this has been incredibly helpful, Emily. And I know that you have, of course, podcasts, YouTube channel, courses, like you have all the things. So please tell, and I'll make sure to link to everything, but please tell everyone where they can best connect with you and also learn from you.
Sure. So Instagram, definitely. So there I'm at minimal_ish_mama. And then on YouTube, it's just the minimalish mama. But yeah, both of those two places, I would love to see you there.
Well, thank you. It was wonderful connecting with you again on the podcast here. And I just am very grateful for you and how you've impacted my journey. So thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yes, you're so welcome.
If you like today's podcast, here's what you can do. Just take 30 seconds to leave me a review. I know you're a busy mama. You're overwhelmed, in fact. But 30 seconds of your day makes such an impact. I'll be blessed by your words. They'll definitely make my day. And who knows, you might be entered for this month's giveaway. In Apple Podcasts, scroll down to write a review. Thanks so much for your time. I'm so grateful for you.